Item 904, accept year two report on the $68 million Parks 2014 general obligation bond.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very happy to present this. Just as a tidying up, there is a clarification with some amendments that have been circulated to Council, correcting some of the numbers and putting the verbiage back in sort of the right order. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Would you like me to move that as a package?
Yes, please.
So moved.
Seconded. Thank you.
Commissioner Fish moves. Commissioner Fritz second. Movement of the entire package.
Shall we put that? Shall we vote on that? Or not?
I'm happy to. It's at your discretion.
I usually like to
call the vote.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
This is just so that we're all discussing the same thing. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. So the entire package is on the table.
Thank you, Mayor. In 2014, the Parks Replacement Bond was passed with the support of 74% of voters, the highest ever for a Parks Bond, showing broad support for investment in our city's parks and recreation facilities, particularly basic service and taking care of necessary maintenance. This was $68 million, and the first set of projects were approved and are in progress, and we're going to hear about that. What we have here today is to discuss is the last section of the projects. A primary focus of the bond program has been to hold true to the bond's language. We have to make sure that what we promise the voters actually happens. And over the last year, we've done a lot of work to get the project underway and to have a great deal of public involvement for the remaining $20.4 million of the bond. Thanks, first of all, to the Portland voters for approving this tax, and secondly, to the team in the Bureau and in the community who is bringing this together today. Hand it over to Lauren McGuire, Capital Projects Manager at Portland Parks and Recreation.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. My name is Lauren McGuire. I'm the Development Program Manager for Portland Parks. As Commissioner Fritz said, the purpose of the report is to summarize and share with you the public the current status and the challenges that we've had the second year of the bond program. So the 2014 Parks Bond Program, passed by voters, approved, as Commissioner Fritz said, a $68 million measure. On the screen is the overview of the bond agenda for today. We're going to talk a little bit about the background. We'll review the investments that we've made so far and talk about the public involvement transparency part, and then go over our performance with the project overview, schedule and budget and scope overview. During the first year of the bond, we set up the foundational structure for it by hiring new staff and establishing the process. This year, year two, we focused primarily on two things, project delivery and the creation of the bond phase two list. For project delivery, we remain consistent with the bond language throughout the year. For example, as you see in the oval circle, when we said we would renovate Matt Dishman Pool and Peninsula Pool and Grant Pool, we've done that. We are working currently on Peninsula Pool, but the other two have been completed. For the bond phase two project list, the second part of our efforts this year, we had $20.4 million of the original $68 million that were not allocated to specific projects. So we developed an analytical and transparent process to establish that list. First, we did an asset management assessment where we evaluated playgrounds, bridges, pools, and other facilities to determine if they were likely to fail and their level of danger in case they did fail. And then we ranked those projects. We had a massive list, and to pare it down a little bit tighter to a list that was workable within our budget, we looked at an equity lens where we focused the projects on areas of high diversity, on low-income areas, and areas of high percentage of youth. We then took that project list and did scopes and costs to evaluate the projects and make sure that we could produce on those projects. And then we took them out to the public and got their feedback on it. And on June 21st, you approved that list. So here's a map showing the investments from phase one. That's $47.6 million worth of projects. There's 34 projects on that map. Here's phase two, which has the $20.4 million remaining projects. It's really only 18 projects, but Within one of the projects alone, we're touching 30 sites. So we're doing a play piece replacement project, and that will replace a lot of the lead-based play equipment pieces that we've removed to date. We're also going to be repairing drainage in a lot of those parks. So here's the two together. You can see it aggregates them, and we'll address a long backlog of critical repair projects. We know we have about $250 million in funding gap, at least, over the next 10 years, but this will go a long ways to address that. And then finally, this map shows all those projects, plus our SDC projects that Parks is working on. It's not really part
system
of the bond
program.
System
development charges, right?
System development charges, thank you. You can see that's a very exciting time for Portland Parks. There's $116 million in SDC projects as well. Not only is the city working hard to improve the parks infrastructure, we're also investing in the local Portland community to ensure that disadvantaged, minority, and emerging small businesses have opportunities to design, bid on, and construct bond projects. Our success rate is, we're pretty proud of it. It has 34% of professional technical contracts devoted to these groups, and we have 46% of all our construction contracts devoted to DMW ESB utilization. And just for perspective, our city goal is 20%. We're also very proud of our park system, and with our initial work, we had extensive public outreach to identify the Phase 1 project list. There's also been project outreach, public involvement with each of our projects. You can see on the right-hand side the number of public meetings and celebration events, signed posted, and the number of hits we've had on our website. We've also been working with our bond oversight committee, which is comprised of Dion Jordan, Jonathan Golan, Karen Loper-Tracy, and Zuri Satner, and our newest member, Ken Richardson, from the David Douglas Schools. They've offered many significant and helpful suggestions. So two of the suggestions are up on the screen. They wanted us to establish a program contingency. We have done that with the bond phase two. And they also wanted us to demonstrate our effectiveness of our outreach efforts. And you can see our outreach efforts on the right-hand side. And we're also looking at doing a survey in the future to evaluate our performance in this area. They'll be coming back to you in the fall with a report on how they think we've done as well. So now performance. In our second year of implementation, several projects have moved forward through various stages of design and construction and completion while maintaining consistency with the original bond language and utilizing extensive tracking mechanisms for our schedule, scopes, and budgets. All 34 of the projects are now underway. This is the Selwood pool roof and windows, which looks great. Here's some work that we've done on the Matt Dishman spa and pool equipment. And of the 26 projects that we have underway, one of them is the Washington Park Rose Garden ADA improvement project. It's wrapping up now as we speak. And we've completed 8 of the projects. This is Grant Pool. We've done Matt Dishman Pool. We've also done several loos throughout the community and finished a couple studies. Overall, the schedule metric is also a positive one, with 19 of the 34 projects on or ahead of schedule and 8 complete, as I said. We do have 7 projects that are a little bit behind schedule. We've had several challenges. We've had the rainiest season on record, so that has not helped. We've had an increasingly challenging construction climate, which you've heard about as I've come with many different projects. Sometimes our bids are not coming in at all, and sometimes they're high. We also have complex permitting and procurement requirements, and for Pioneer Courthouse Square in particular, we had downtown protest activity, which delayed that project by a month. As of June 30th, we'd spent $15.9 million. Our spending is still at a slower rate than we originally anticipated, but we look for that trend to change as more projects move into the construction phase. You can see from the two bars on the screen that we have more construction activity now and less administrative cost, which is great. All projects are currently within their bond budgets except for 2 projects, Grant Pool, which was over, and Park Lane Lou, which was also over due to a fund tracking oversight. The graphic shows the overall progress of the bond as far as administrative expenses go by month. So we have a 6.6 cumulative percentage of funds spent on the administrative costs. That's what we wanted to clarify in the memo that you got recently. And this graph in particular, it looks like it's almost zero. That was exactly our administrative expenses for the month of June. So this is by month. Similar to year one, all of our projects continue to stay within their originally defined scopes. So overall, we're very proud of our metrics. We've had projects that are well received by the public and by the contracting community and our leaders. We're exceedingly proud of our goals for DMW ESB utilization, and the majority of our projects are on schedule and on scope and within budget. So looking ahead, we have 13 projects that will be happening in the next year or so, so there's lots of excitement to come. With that, we're happy to present you with the long form of the annual report, too, which will be shared with the press and the neighborhood coalitions and will be on our website. The information presented here can be found in that report. It's intended to be transparent and honest about what has gone well and what challenges we had. Consistent with last year, we have a handful of interesting stories in there from some of our supporters. We're very appreciative of their contributions, including Nate McCoy, Arlene Kimura, Max Nathy, Harriet Cormack, and there have been many others who have been united in the common goal of reinvesting in Portland parks for today and for the next generation. The short version has already started to be distributed. You have a copy of that right now that Carla's given you. It's also been translated into Spanish. In summary, we anticipate that we'll be able to deliver the Phase 1 and Phase 2 bond projects promised within the $68 million bond with accountability and transparency, and we're happy to take questions at this time. Thank you.
Colleagues? Very good. So we have the entire package, including the amendment, on the table. Is there for any further discussion? And I'll ask for somebody to...
Lauren, I guess this is a superb presentation. You deserve one question.
Sure.
So we've got all these cranes in the air. We've got so many projects underway in our city. And we're starting to see upward pressure on bids as a result. Now, obviously, we want to get as much value as possible out of the bond. What's your general assessment about the climate for bids?
As you said, we've had a challenging bidding climate, and a lot of our projects have come in over bid. We're trying to circle back with the contractors that are bidding and see if we can get more information from them. We've started to factor that into our budgets, as you know, just to anticipate that's going to happen. As far as other things we're doing with the bidding, we're circling back to people that haven't bid and trying to get them to bid on our projects. We're trying to bundle our projects. We're trying to attack it in a lot of different ways, but it is a challenge. And I can't say that we've honestly cracked that yet.
You know, on one hand, it's a happy development. When you talk to the building trades, they say they're at 150% of capacity, which means a lot of people are working.
Right.
But it has the other effect of driving up construction costs.
And, right.
Anyway, this is a superb report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Public testimony?
Yes, we have three people signed up. Jimmy Wittenberg, Joe Walsh, and Mimi Gurman.
Mayor Wheeler, I expected to be out of town by now, but they want a month's notice on my apartment, even though it's full of bugs on my chair and my bed. They're spraying today in there, Unthank Plaza, if you know where that is. And they also have a problem with drug dealers in there. they shot a person recently right in the middle of the forehead, a drug dealer, and I want to get out of there before I get a couple shots in my head. It's an unsafe place, and nobody should be living there, certainly not 90-year-olds. I grew up in an atmosphere where Wayne Morris and Bob Packwood and Governor McCall all wore jackets when they testified. So I just can't get out of the habit. I've always done this for 50 years now, and I guess this is the last time that I testify, I've got to do it the same. I was really happy this morning when I reached outside here in the rack and saw, I'm sorry, it's Mayor Wheeler, and saw this article in the Willamette Week. It's called Repeating History. And Lisa Posey remembers cutting across the vacant lot in North Portland on her way to Harriet Tubman Middle School. It's been empty since I was a little girl, said Posey, 41 years old. In the 1960s, the city-owned agency, then known as Portland Development Commission, condemned vast tracts of inner north and northeast Portland. The takings, including the still-vacant block on the northwest corner of Williams Avenue and Russell, that's across the street, catty corner from where I live, next to the Urban League, if you know where that is.
So I don't mean to be rude, but this is related to the Parks Replacement Bond report.
Well, I can figure out where else to put it in. I'm trying. I'll get to that in just a few minutes. See, you changed your name, local resident Roshan Muhammad told the Prosper Portland Board last week, but you haven't changed your behavior. So recently I read in the news that we were thinking about taking a golf course and making it into industrial land so we could sell it off for high value and then see if we could find some residential land somewhere to replace it. And I saw in the Portland Tribune and again in the Oregonian. So I brought that to most of you. I've talked with you about this. But I'm still afraid you're going to slip this in somehow for me not seeing it happen. And now that I'm going to be leaving Portland for good, I just don't want you to take the parkland, take the parks, and turn it into this industrial land. And start once you finish the golf courses, you start on the land for the parks in this city. I wish I had more trust in the city council, but anything for a dollar, it seems like right now, or a piece of free land somewhere, you're going to turn that land in there that was a drugstore, which is near my heart, and you're going to make it a damn hospital again. Property, and I just hate to see you do that. I hate to see you do it.
So thank you.
I'm out of here. I'll see you in another life. Goodbye, Nick, Diane, Ted.
See you later.
And Amanda.
Thank you for your participation.
I've enjoyed my 78 years here. So, but. So I'll leave this with her so she can. This is
Mimi, you're up.
By a 12.
Joe's up, actually.
Mimi, you're up.
Joe's up. Joe was written before me.
Could somebody speak? Thank you. Good morning.
My name is Joe Walsh, for the record. I represent Individuals for Justice. Just a technical question as I was watching the presentation. Obviously, if you listen to my voice, I was not going to speak today. However, the bullet points were very difficult to read. And if I couldn't read it here, the people at home trying to figure out what you're talking about have a very difficult time. So what you've done with your bullet points that cannot be read by the citizens is to isolate us. And you present the image that your staff come before you to present the information to you. And I would submit that that's wrong. They should be presenting it to the people of Portland. And if we can't read what the bullet points are and we can't figure out what they're talking about, how in God's name are you presenting it to the people of Portland? Do you see what I'm saying here? We are the people of Portland, and it was a good report. It was. I was impressed with it, but I'm here. I have people around me that know more than I do. So I can ask questions. Somebody sitting at home that takes the time to go on an off channel to watch you guys should come away feeling, wow, that bond that we voted in is being used really well. And I can read all the information up there, or I can check it. And if you can't read it, you can't check it. So it's a technical argument that I'm presenting really to you, Amanda. And again, is it not a criticism of your staff or you? It's a criticism of the process. And that's what we're really interested in. We're really interested in the process and the issues, not the personalities. So if we can't read it, folks, put it up on the board. You spent all this money on this stuff. Put it up there, and if you can't read it, don't use it. Simple. Not rocket science. Thank you very much for your time. And I'm really glad I didn't get thrown out on this one. Thank you.
Mr. Walsh.
Yes, ma'am.
You're absolutely right. It's on me. I reviewed it in paper version and not on the screen. So I appreciate the feedback, and I'll make sure we do better next time. Thank you.
And it's not just your bureau. It's everybody's. I see it time after time after time. And it was just reminding me this morning. And you just happened to fall into that lottery.
Well, just enjoy it. I just said
every one of your bureaus, when you do these presentations, have them come in and do it. Rehearse it. Look up there and say, we can't read that. And if they can't read it, they can't read it at home.
Mr. Walsh.
And my wife is the one that suggested that, by the way.
It's a good suggestion.
Because she watches this at home. Hi, Patty. She watches this at home.
Ms. Walsh, you are absolutely right. Thank you.
God, can I have that ready?
I thought you might enjoy that.
Stay with me. My name is Mimi Gurman, and I was appalled that in the presentation, somehow, protesters came into the presentation for blocking their time management issues. And if there are time management issues, and I am sure there are, I don't think it's because of protesters. First, if it's even remotely related to protesters, it's due to cops. So let's put the onus where the onus needs to be. When the cops are there, things get crazy. So I take great offense in I'm still stunned that we made it into that presentation. I take offense that we're even in there. I'd like that removed from their presentation. If they can't handle time management and the budget, that's on them. It's not on protesters. Clearly, they have issues. They were admitting that many of the bidders overbid. Why is that an oversight? Why is that always an oversight? Why does that come up later? We all know, those of us who are activists, we know it's a guarantee that there's going to be people overbidding to get money from you guys that gets spent incorrectly. And here it is. Can we deal with that ahead of time so we stop wasting money? And maybe we could take all that extra money, maybe the Parks Department could take the extra money and build a couple of houseless villages with that money. I think that's a good way to deal with it. Make them be responsible. I guess the reason that I'm so surprised that we came into play on their presentation for budget issues, it's like saying that this Nazi cop Kruger is responsible for their budget issues. Why don't we take a look at that? That's as crazy as saying that protesters are the reason for their budget issues and delays. So if we're going to be in that, I want it known that Nazi cop Kruger and his employment with the city is part of their budget issue. And we need to get rid of him. We need a recommendation from the mayor to the union, from Chloe, who for some reason isn't here today due to the bullet vote, I'm sure, because she's a no vote and just can't find the spine to actually be here to say no against the bullets. I want a recommendation from her to the union to fire this Nazi cop. And let's make the Nazi cop responsible for budget issues. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
Ms. Gilman, the Pioneer Square was supposed to have been had the barricades up right after the holiday season at the beginning of January. Protesters said they wanted to gather there for the January 20th inauguration, so we delayed the fencing of that whole area to accommodate the protesters. That's why it's behind schedule.
It could be noted that way. As it is right now, it's protesters. There's been a lot of protests. Clarification would be great.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. Another thing I'd like to have on these type of presentations is on the overall, again, and I've stated this on other programs and construction jobs, is I want to have a clear understanding how many jobs are created per park, and then the overall number. Just a basic estimate is what I'd like to have. It's just to have an understanding when we're talking about dollars going into projects and then how many jobs are created. And that is a very important issue to me, to have an understanding on the overall dollar amount toward a park, how many jobs created, and then looking at the overall picture pertaining to the bond. Another issue I have is that in the parks themselves, I'd like to have a more clear understanding of, for low-level offenses committed in a park, I don't want to see people taken over to the Multnomah County Jail for those type of offenses in a park. I don't want them to be trespassed and then taken into jail. I think it's completely inappropriate if they're out in a public park to end up having to sit in the jail for a few days on a low-level offense. And again, as the Parks Commissioner, you have authority to basically set the rules and the guidelines for what also the police need to follow in these parks. And again, I don't want to see people sitting in the jail. And I've gone over this on a disability report where some people actually committed suicide after 3 days of treatment in the jail. And I want that to be stopped. Another issue just pertaining to Pioneer Courthouse Square, I'd like a little more emphasis on the artwork that goes into some of these parks. I want to have a little bit higher budget for the artwork, maybe working with RAC. I want to see more artwork in the overall parks, different things where community members can come in, have an input, what they want to see in certain areas in the park, and provide that and have the artists come in and create it. I don't see enough of that, and I didn't see that in the Pioneer Courthouse Square. With all that money that was spent, I wanted to see more artwork placed in there. I haven't seen it yet. My final position, again, is that I really think you're doing a good work on this, Commissioner Fritz. I really think that this bureau is something you truly enjoy. You light up when we talk about it, and I think that's good. I think you really enjoy this bureau. You're going to do really well. You're doing good. You're keeping a lot of the overall costs down. I want to see more artwork, more community involvement on that. And other than that, keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mr. Lightning. The bond measures were specifically for fixing problems. We couldn't use it for improvements like artwork.
But it was my understanding on any park development, there's a percentage of from where RAC kicks in to provide art on any new development of a park.
Well, actually, the city does, and yes.
Well, the city is RAC.
Go to the openings of the Gateway Discovery Park and the Lewitt View Park, because then you'll find that's where the art is.
Okay, very good. All right, thank you. And again, private donors would be happy to probably step up and provide additional artwork.
You would think, huh?
You would think. I mean, that's why you have the Park Foundation. Thank you.
Colleagues, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Fish moves. Commissioner Fritz seconds. Please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for this good oversight report. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your leadership. Aye.
Well, I was very first elected, promising to take care of basic services in every neighborhood, and that's what we've done with this Parks Bond. Thank you to the team for your display today, the presentation today, and for your diligence in making sure that we do give the voters what they voted for, which is using their tax dollars wisely. And I'm very proud, actually I've been proud, Mr. Lightning, of every bureau that I've been in charge of, because they're all wonderful. This one's particularly wonderful because there's so much community engagement, and I very much appreciate the work that's going on, even with basic repairs. Aye.
Fish?
Outstanding report. Thank you very much. Aye.
Wheeler?
I think it's a great report, and I'd encourage the public to take a look at it. Mr. Walsh, I agree with you. I have trouble seeing small print, particularly on overheads, and so what I will do is I will send a memo to all bureaus reminding them that not everybody can see 11-point type. I know I can't, so I totally understand what you're saying, and I agree with your wife. Thing number two, Commissioner Fritz, I think it's a great report. I appreciate the work you and Parks Bureau staff has put into this. I think it's very clear. I particularly like the fact you have the wins and the yet-to-be wins, and you're very clear and transparent about that. I think that gives people benchmarks to look at the next time we have you back. I also wanted just to reflect on the comment, why are of late, in particular, all of the original construction estimates being surpassed by the actual bids? The main driver here is the bids are put in, then a period of time, sometimes a considerable period of time goes by until the actual bids are received. And what's happening right now in this market is finding a tradesperson to be able to actually do the work, to get a subcontractor to actually be able to do the work. Those costs are being bid up dramatically. And while certainly not all of the contracts that come in front of the council for review are higher than the original estimate, a considerable amount of them are, and it's predominantly for that reason. And again, the bidding process itself is an open process, and people are free to bid less. But that's just been a trend that I have also noticed, and that is the explanation that I've been predominantly given. I vote aye. Excellent report. The report's accepted. Next item.